my favorite talk show host is the amazing Sharon Kay.
Oh, you're so smart, legend. You're just so smart, baby. Let me say hello to Nashville. All of our wonderful people. As always, we are totally glad and absolutely delighted to have you tuned in today. And it's a beautiful day in the city. It's cold, though, for real. But we do have some sunshine, and we are mighty glad to see that in Nashville, because we've been rain so much rain, but you know how it is, it's coming back. The rain is definitely coming back, and I'll be talking to you about that a little bit later, and Commander Chuck will be bringing our traffic report, let you know how it looks out there on your way home to and fro. I know it's going to be some jams up on those interstates, but he'll tell you all about it. Now, it's a typical beautiful Wednesday, and how we roll, lots and lots on the agenda for you today. However, I do want to welcome to the show. It's been a while since he's had time to be on the show. He actually had time to carve us in.
He's a busy man. Busy man. We saw him on TV.
Yes. And during the Obama administration, Congressman Cooper used to squeeze us in because he wasn't so, it wasn't so uptight. I mean, I know it was uptight, but this is crazy uptight that's going on in Congress now. So to get a chance to catch him on deck on duty at his office and get a update is really a wonderful thing to get plugged back in. Congressman Jim Cooper, we're happy to have you with us today. How are you?
Hey, Sharon. Hey, X. It's great to be with you, at least by telephone. And
absolutely.
I enjoyed it when you stopped by the office a week or two ago, the public library office in Nashville. It was great to see you.
You as well. I know you were shocked.
I'm used to hearing your voice on the radio, not live and in person.
I know. That was really the surprise. And it was good to see you as well. And Congressman Cooper, I told you that we reached out to you about a month or two ago, and I said, my God, we haven't had, you know, our live reports from Congress from you in a while to catch up with some of the goings on. I know you all have been quite busy with some of the craziness and this and that's that you've had to endure, and I wanted to just catch up and see, you know, a few things. And then I wanted to specifically ask you about some recent things that have been in the headlines. First, have you heard from any of your constituents or anybody in this region with concerns about flooding or weather-related issues? I do know that our area did not have the tornadoes, but we have had the flooding here. Has anyone contacted your office needing any assistance?
Well, a lot of people were hurt by the weather. It wasn't as bad as the 2010 flood, but, for example, we had part of I-24 shut down north of Nashville. I went and visited that mudslide last Saturday, and that's millions of dollars worth of repair work. So basically the whole top of the hill slid off onto the highway, and that's going to be, they're trying to get traffic open, you know, in just a few days, but it's going to be a month or so before they can, take care of that mudslide. There have been other issues really all over the state.
Yeah.
But the great bullet that we dodged was, and a lot of people don't know this yet, the largest lake on the Cumberland River is way above us, way up in Kentucky, and that lake, Lake Cumberland, is so big that it could contain all of our Tennessee lakes in it, like Dale Hollow and Center Hill and Percy Priest and Old Hickory and all those, Cordell Hull. It is so big, and that dam was never more threatened than it was just in the last week or two. And the miracle is this. That dam was weak and very vulnerable. It was called a Category 1 dam, and it could have actually broken. But over the last 10 years, the federal government has spent $700 million fixing that dam, and all the repair work was done, completed about a year or two ago. So thank goodness that was done. Otherwise, as the congressman from that area told me just this afternoon, goodbye Nashville. because that was so much water that if that dam had breached, it'd be all over. And as I say, that Lake Cumberland has never been higher than it was just in the last few days as a result of all that rain.
Yeah.
So we dodged a bullet with that one.
Yes, we did. I just, like so many people, am concerned about our city's infrastructure because these areas seem to flood every single time. And anything nearby that Cumberland, it's underwater. And this has been a constant issue here, not just one that developed recently. So I don't know what the future holds. If it continues to rain for us like this, I don't know what kind of problems.
The city's spending $1 billion or $2 right now. That's a lot of money to fix our sewer system, which does a lot of the water runoff, storm drains and things like that. You have to have a clear and functioning sewer system, not only handle the human waste, but also to handle the surplus runoff from our highways.
Absolutely. Now, there's have been so many issues of concern for citizens and, you know, as well as in your district, but across the country in terms of Congress and the president and the relationship they're in and some of the shenanigans that, you know, folks are witnessing with their own eyes. What are your thoughts on the president's emergency declaration, and which way are you going to go on that?
Well, I've already voted to overturn the president's emergency declaration because it's not an emergency. It's just him wanting to be bailed out of a campaign promise that he shouldn't have made. He's the first president we've ever had to use an emergency like this for his own purposes. Emergency declarations have never even been controversial before. But this one is just transparent because even in his press conference announcing it, President Trump admitted it wasn't an emergency. So that's why the bill to overturn the declaration has already passed the House of Representatives where I work. It's about to go in the Senate. And the rumor is that 10 or 15 Senate Republicans are going to vote to overturn the president's declaration. So the president will probably veto it. It'll come back, and we probably don't have enough votes to override the veto. But as it was described to me by a Republican, this is like a jailbreak of congressional Republicans. They're fed up with the president's antics, and this is the first clear sign that they're going to do something about it, not just criticize him behind his back, but actually take him on in real votes.
Yeah.
I welcome that.
Well, and I've got to say, from us armchair folks sitting at home, when the people that are finally, if they are truly going to break free, they knew this and have known about some of these shenanigans now for quite some time. What do you think, besides pure politics, has kept them so quiet on the sideline, or fear?
Well, I think they're afraid of Trump's base, especially the Republicans who rely on those voters. They don't want to anger them. And you've seen a few folks like our former Senator Bob Corker speak out. But he only really spoke out once he decided to retire. That was the same for Senator Jeff Flake. But I was talking to a Republican colleague just yesterday, and he said that he was in a meeting with the president of the White House. It lasted 90 minutes, and the president changed his mind completely 12 different times in that one meeting. So people don't know in either party whether they can trust him, whether he can hold a train of thought. It's very sad to see a president in that condition, but there are other Republican senators like Senator Ben Sasse, and he's one who hasn't announced his retirement yet, but he just flat out uses the word insane describing the president because this isn't a normal person. I know five people in Nashville who once did business with Donald Trump, and the operative word is once. Each one of those people has said never again. They don't want to be in the same room with him. They certainly don't want to ever do business with him.
Well, that's amazing because he was so strong, not in Nashville, but outside of our area, all the counties around Davidson and the rest of Tennessee. He's strong, and the folks here love him. They turn out in big crowds, and they're cheering and, you know, lock him up, or lock her up, rather. And, you know,
he does have a very fervent base.
Yes.
But it is not a majority of Americans. It's never been a majority. He did win a majority in the Electoral College. But a majority of Americans are consistently worried and concerned about his performance because it's just not what we would expect of a U.S. president.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I guess for you, because you were there during the Obama administration, and he was on the sideline, you know, being a birther and being negative and saying some of the very same things that he himself is doing. He complained about them and the fight and 8 years of the struggle that you had in Congress under President Obama. And now here we are with it on the other side with this person who was on the sidelines complaining. It must be tough as nails to get anything done, I mean, to accomplish a mission.
It is hard because, you know, even with the victory in 2018, the midterm elections, Democrats now only control 1/6 of all of government. We control 1/2 of Congress, but the White House is still Republican. The courts are mainly Republican. So we have a lot of work to do. And in order for us to pass something into law, we have to persuade a Republican U.S. Senate.
Right.
To go along with us. So we still have a lot of struggles. But more and more commonsensical people are saying, hey, you know, Trump is right on a couple of issues. Like, I wish he'd put forward an infrastructure bill or try to lower drug prices like he promised in the campaign.
Right.
So he's not wrong on everything, but he's wrong on a lot of things. And his criticism of Obama really rankles me because I was one of the earliest supporters of Obama. We had him in Nashville, people forget this, for a fundraiser over a year before he was elected president.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back then, a lot of folks didn't even show up. They didn't think he had a chance.
Right.
But, you know, he did everything he could to elevate the presidency, to make it respectable. And mm-hmm. there's not a single scandal associated with the Obama administration. And all we've seen from the Trump administration has been people indicted and convicted, and, you know, including his campaign manager, his national security advisor. Mm-hmm. These are top people. And it'll just last week, we had the Michael Cohen hearings.
Yes.
Here's personal lawyer for the last 10 years, and it was just an embarrassment.
Yeah, it's horrible.
What he reported on the way, you know, President Trump behaved before he was president.
Right.
Now, this guy didn't work with him as president other than get payoff checks for Stormy Daniels
right.
in the Oval Office signed by the president.
It's crazy.
How embarrassing is that?
It's horrible. It's absolutely just, horrible.
It's unbelievable.
And, well, Congressman, I saw that you were on the committee, and I did see you asking a question. I heard your questions. Let me ask you a little bit about the behind the scenes with the Democrats, because every single person had a different area that they went to Michael Cohen on in their questioning. And did you all caucus and say, okay, you got this, I got that, he's going to get... Is that how you all did that?
We did. We have a very able staff, but most of all, we have an able chairman. Mm-hmm. Elijah Cummings is a remarkable man.
Mm-hmm.
I think you always know you're in good hands when your chairman's named after an Old Testament prophet. That's a pretty good sign right there. But Elijah has great moral force.
Yes.
And you saw the way he conducted the hearing.
Oh, yes.
In fact, Saturday Night Live did a great spoof on it, but
yeah.
they didn't make fun of Elijah Cummings.
No.
They made fun of the witness and the Republicans.
Uh-huh.
And a little bit of some of the Democrats you questioned, but
yeah.
I was asked by staff to actually ask a question about the Trump Foundation and some of their minor misdeeds and that. But I chose instead to ask what I thought was a key question,
uh-huh.
like what was the breaking point for Michael Cohen? When did he go from being a loyal fixer for the president to being a whistleblower?
Uh-huh.
What pushed him over the edge? And he had a very telling answer to that question. And then I asked Michael Cohen, what advice would you give young people so they don't get in trouble like you did,
mm-hmm.
especially young lawyers? Because it's very tragic to see somebody who studied the law end up breaking so many laws. Because Michael Cohen's going to prison, and he shouldn't have done any of those things. But he got hoodooed by Donald Trump as a rich developer, and he shouldn't have gone along with that bad stuff. But he did.
And knowing that that's the case, I think it was particularly moving when he responded to you that it hurt his family. I mean, that to me, if you didn't feel that response, if no one felt that, that's because they don't, you know, they don't know how bad they hurt the family, because the family's the one tore up when folks are out here carrying on.
Oh, amen. You know, he might be a bad person, but he loves his family, his family loves him, and he is deeply concerned, as he should be, about their safety, because this is almost a Mafia Don situation.
Wow.
He's worried about somebody taking out his family, and I asked specifically about that, and he said, look, the president's got 60 million Twitter followers. And any one of those crazy people could do like they tried to do here in Washington with the comic pizza thing.
Yes.
You know, when the guy came in with the firearm thinking
yes.
it was
yes.
a bad business when
yeah.
it was totally legitimate pizza
yeah.
shop.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And 60 million people, you know, as a percentage, there's going to be a number of folks out there who get misled by the president's tweets.
Yeah.
And he also quoted the president because, you know, Donald Trump said this. He said he could shoot somebody in the middle of Fifth Avenue in broad daylight and not get in trouble for
it. That's what he said.
And Michael Cohen also said, I said, has the president ever harmed anybody? He said, no, but he has plenty of people on staff who can do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, to hire thugs like that on your payroll just on a daily basis to intimidate and assault people?
It's awful.
That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
But it shouldn't happen with the president.
No, and it shouldn't happen in our country.
Yeah.
And lastly, I'm just really curious. I know you're going to have to wrap here because you got to go. The fallout that just keeps taking place against the young freshman Congress new members, and you know they're making mistakes, or they're speaking up and being real vocal. I know there's lessons to be learned from for everybody, but what are some of your quick observations on the new Democrats that have come into the House?
Well, the big picture is it's the most exciting and energetic freshman class we've ever had. It is a number of women. I think it's up to about 133 women out of 435 members of Congress.
Uh-huh.
So many of them are immensely talented and capable, and they bring new perspectives and energy, so it's never been more exciting to be in Congress. But with that comes a lot of media attention. And like anything, whether any sport, some
yeah.
rookies are going to make an occasional mistake.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean they're a bad person.
Yeah. Yeah.
That means
yeah.
they made a mistake, because who is used to all this limelight? There are people in Washington following you around every second of every day, and they're
yeah.
just waiting to catch you saying something that could be misconstrued or misinterpreted.
True.
So I think it'll settle down, and I think it'll work out all right, but it's definitely a new day, and that's exciting.
How do you feel about Congresswoman Omar? She catches...
No one can defend anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
We know that we've had way too much discrimination of all kinds, but the anti-Semitism is particularly sensitive because of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
World War II, there were a lot of bad things that happened, but the worst was probably the deliberate extermination of the Jewish people by the Hitler regime.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that people have zero tolerance hearing about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Middle East politics, that's a different question.
Mm-hmm.
What should happen? Different countries, different peoples there, that's open for debate.
Mm-hmm.
But no one wants anti-Semitism.
Okay. Well, no race of people wants to be put down, criticized, talked about in...
Yeah.
No one. I mean...
No one, you're right.
I mean, that needs to be something our country needs to concentrate on all the time. Congressman,
yeah.
I just really so very much appreciate you doing a little carve-in for us, and it's good to hear, straight from the source there, what's going on and keeping us updated. And now, hopefully, it won't be a year before I get to do this again.
Well, I want to show up in person.
Okay,
it's great to talk to you, Sharon. Always great
thank
to see you. And
you.
Great CX.
Thank you.
Keep up the great work.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir. Keep up
right.
the work yourself.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Appreciate
it. All right. Have a good rest of the day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Congressman Jim Cooper. He carved in a moment or two as he's on his way to do whatever it is he's got to do. And we certainly do thank him for that. And I know Commander Chuck is... he's hovering.
24/7.
Hey, you're on the hoverboard, baby.
Like Back to the Future.
Yeah, no question about it. I can see it now. Let me close my eyes. Yeah, there he is. It's Chuck.
Hey, girl.
How you doing today?
Good, good. How about you?
Did I miss you last week?
We did. I don't know what happened. I mean, you know how electronics are in technology sometimes. When it works, it's great. When it don't work, it's not so great.
You know what? Listen, that's our whole world up here. And, when I tell that to people, I'm like, we don't just have one computer. It's a whole bunch of them. Connected to everything. I mean, it's tons and tons and tons of machines. But anyway, most importantly is that I get to talk to you today because we missed you last week, Chuck.
Well, I missed you. I do. I always miss you.
All right. That's the right thing to say. How's Chuck?
Can you tell I'm married? That's exactly what to say.
Tell baby girl I said, hey, okay? How's it look, Chuck?
Thanks, Sharon. Right now I'm looking at this wreck. They finally got all these vehicles. Let me count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. It looks like 8 vehicles over to the side here on 65 northbound in Madison, right here up by OHB. It's not a bad wreck, but it's not every day you drive by and see a multi-car crash like this with 8 cars over to the side here. Boy, are they rubbernecking. I mean, again, I'm looking at this live, folks, and telling you play-by-play here that 65 is in a major crawl here trying to get up past OHB in Madison north of town because of this rubbernecking that's going on. It's also a wreck being cleared 24 westbound, not too far from James Robertson Parkway. Busy out of downtown on the South Loop, West Loop. Yes, it's busy in that construction. We're going to have to get used to there on 440, especially going eastbound this time of the afternoon. Bogs down there between Hillsborough Pike and the 65 split. This traffic report brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken. They're located at 5814 Nolensville Pike. I'm Commander Chuck, your on-time traffic.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay?
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Heads up, Tennessee. Distracted driving is a growing problem across the country and the Volunteer State.
I'm Julie Mix McPeak, Tennessee Commissioner of Commerce and Insurance and the State Fire Marshal. As a mom and Tennessean, I'm concerned about distracted driving. Distracted driving causes injuries, raises our insurance rates, and costs lives.
Distracted driving is anything that diverts a driver's attention away from the road. Drivers should always remember these tips before getting behind the wheel. Start sober. Never get behind the wheel of a vehicle while impaired. When you're driving, focus on the road, not your phone. No texting, no social media, just drive. Parents, be a good example to your children. Put your phone away. Obey speed limits and keep your eyes on the road.
When it comes to distracted driving, I'm asking you to put it in park, Tennessee.
To learn more information, visit tn.gov/commerce. Brought to you by the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance in cooperation with the Tennessee Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including TennCare and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com. Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK. As I was exiting, you know how I do. I do my deep thought thing. You know, the day before I'm going to interview somebody about a book and a deep subject. You know, I have to go in my hometown, in my home house, and have my deep thoughts. When I was thinking, you know, I know this is a book about brain health, and I just kept going back in my head to the Wizard of Oz.
if I only had a brain.
I'm just like, oh, Lord, I know that this doctor is a very serious person and all that, but in my head I kept thinking, if some folks really only had one, or used what they had, or figured out what is wrong with the one that they have, then, you know, maybe we can, some people can lead happier lives. But I wanted to introduce, this is our first time getting a chance to have Dr. Stephen P. Simmons on, MD. He is a board certified internist. In 1996, Dr. Simmons was selected by his peers to receive the Dr. Annie Yee Johnson Memorial Award for compassion and professionalism. He spent 12 years working in primary and urgent care at Kaiser Permanente before joining Doc Talker in 2008. Where he has been spearheading the practice's house call program, Doc Talker. So he's a Doc Talker, and he's going to be with us to talk about the brand new book that he co-authored, Brain Health as You Age. And Dr. Simmons, how are you today?
Doing very well, thank you.
Good. So if I only had a brain, huh?
If you only had a brain, right? From the Wizard of Oz?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean,
yeah, that brought back memories. I actually went to college at UT Martin.
Okay.
And I'm a University of Tennessee med school graduate. And when I was younger, I was actually in a play at that university, the Wizard of Oz. So.
And little did we know that you would become this great person in medicine and helping people with brain issues. It is good, very good to talk with you today. And as with most guests that I bring on to discuss, I just want to know, where are you? Where do you reside and all that?
My medical practice is in the Washington, D.C. area. I'll see patients in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. Okay. I live in Maryland with my family.
Oh,
I have I have one wife and two children.
Okay, excellent. Now, what made you, you know, study this? Was it something in the family or someone that, you know, made your, you as a board-certified internist? What was going on with you?
Well, for me, there is a family history, a grandmother and then even my own father. And so there is, for me, there's skin in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to get it. And then, of course, as a physician, I see my patients with that.
Mm-hmm.
What really pulled me into the focus on brain health is practicing medicine in people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
I got the chance to see what traps people in the home
mm-hmm.
and prevents them from going out and seeking medical care. And frequently, that's either stroke or some kind of a neurological disease, but all too often it's Alzheimer's or some other demented illness. And I, over about a decade of taking care of my patients in their homes,
uh-huh.
I had to develop an understanding and a way to help people with that. And with the experience and knowing people, I was asked to help write the book.
Okay, excellent. And you simply start with the question, have you ever walked into a room and forgotten why you were there? And I just hope that's not an early sign, because, you know, a lot of people do that
too.
All the time.
I'm glad it's not. That was me yesterday.
Okay.
It's not a bad sign. There's a lot of signs that worry us, and frequently we believe that we're multitasking when we're, for me, the most common is I'm in the kitchen and I go to another room to grab something, and then I'm frequently thinking, well, what did I come in here for? I have to go back to the room to know what it was I went there for. My co-author, he educated me on this idea, and it's that we don't really multitask. We rapidly switch tasks between things we're doing. So what happened when I left the room in that scenario is I
hadn't quite thought it through what I was going to do in the next room,
okay.
And it just was never in there, right?
Okay.
I didn't do a good job of switching tasks, but it's not a sign of dementia, thank
I
God.
I'm so glad to have that explained, because I do it all the time. I'm like,
amen,
God,
me too.
And we used to, back in younger days, you know, we used to walk backwards. So if we, you know, we tried everything. We would take our steps back to where we came from. You know, maybe that would help. You know, we tried everything, and then of course people would say, you know, when you start getting older, in your 30s or 40s, yeah, the mind's the first thing to go. I mean, isn't that what you know we're heard? We hear all the time.
I've heard that quite often, and unfortunately, there might be some truth to it, but I think 30s and 40s is something I'm going to hope isn't the case. It's not for most of us. Most of the studies, though, do show that for a guy like me, I'm a 52-year-old man, now's the time I make the most difference. It's the choices I make in middle age that will determine whether or not that's my future, whether I'm going to start losing my brain function now. Now, for some, unfortunately, you know, with certain diseases, I mean, you can do everything right and still have the disease. Yet, there is a lot of evidence that we can make an impact when we're in middle age by exercise, diet, engaging in brain exercises as well, and that by focusing on what we do now, and vascular health is a big one, we can avoid developing it early.
So are you advocating, you and the authors of the book, advocating that, you know, so as people go to the gym and work their bodies out, that they also should be working their brains out as well? I mean, you know.
Absolutely. Okay. There is quite a lot of evidence for that. A lot of twin studies have helped us to understand that, that while exercise is probably the most important, that, you know, as it contributes to vascular health, moving your brain, exercising your mind regularly has a protective effect. And it's not necessarily like when you, if you do the crossword puzzle every day and it's not a challenge, that's not the same thing.
Okay.
It needs to be a novel exercise, something that makes you really have to challenge yourself.
Yeah.
Learn a new musical instrument. A new language would be another example.
Mm-hmm.
But if the crossword puzzle is as challenging for you as it is for me, then go right ahead.
Okay.
That's fine. It just can't be easy is the point. It can't be this reassuring moment of time expenditure.
Okay. Now, are there some mistakes that we make in our younger years that wipe out that?
But the good news for that is I mean, if you make mistakes in your younger years and you sow your wild oats, assuming you dodge you run the gauntlet without having some kind of a brain injury or some disease that you've picked up, I still think most of the play is in your middle age for whether or not when you're an older person, your mind won't be there with you.
Okay, now I'm just going to, you know, this is what I heard. I'm just lying. I got to pass.
Sure.
that we used to
say. I don't mind that.
Okay, we used to say way back in the day that, you know, if when, you know, back in the heyday in the 70s and early 80s, you know, you smoke so much weed and drink so much, you're not going to have any brain cells that you're going to be.
Oh, yeah, you're killing brain cells like, the 80s, the 70s, and 80s. You know, I would say that it's interesting because you talk about weed, you talk about, you know, there's a lot of marijuana legalization talk. I mean, that's its own topic there. But I am not aware of any, I mean, there are some studies coming out that suggest that regular use of marijuana might have some impact in your brain function. I'm just not aware of any long-term studies that can say, because you did this in the 70s, this is your future in the 2020s. I tend to think that just from pure statistics alone, if that's true, we're in for a lot worse than we think.
Oh, no question.
Number-wise.
No question about it. Because I remember back in the Just Say No Nancy Reagan's campaign.
McGruff and all that.
Yeah.
McGruff the crime dog. I remember him. Yeah.
And this is your brain on drugs, you know, and they crack the egg.
The egg. The egg in the frying pan. I remember that too.
Okay. So is that what's going on with our brains? Are we the cracked eggs in the frying pans?
I would still say I doubt that you fried your brain. I can tell from talking to you, I'm not too worried about it. I think that if somebody has fried their brain on drugs like that, you're going to know. You don't have to wait 20 years later for it to pop out.
Okay.
I think you're
going
to know now. The good news is if nobody can tell now, I don't think it really had a major impact on you.
Now, Dr. Simmons, I was saying I was that person. I'm just saying I heard.
I know. I'm all right with that. That's kind of the thing. You see, I have to practice with Dr. Google. Everybody brings a Dr. Google consult with them now, and I'm okay with that. I feel that a part of what I do and a part of the reason I wanted to write this book and said yes to the offer was to educate people to answer questions like this. I find them, they're fine with me. I want to try to help us all to understand what we can do to improve our odds of having our mind be with our bodies
definitely,
when we're older.
Definitely. And in saying that, I'll just let the audience know if you have a question or comment and want to put the answer or the question directly to Dr. Simmons, you can do that. Our number is 615-329-8810. He is co-author of a brand new book, Brain Health As You Age, A Practical Guide to Maintenance and Prevention. He's co-author with Jody Lyons and William Hansbach. Give us just a sentence on who the co-authors are, please.
Dr. Mansbach, William Mansbach, is a psychologist who's on the Maryland State Governor's Alzheimer's Council. He's got several companies. That's more than a few sentences, but he is a passionate geriatric psychologist trying to fight against dementia and help to recognize it. Jody Lyons is a senior care manager who helps our older adults find better living situations, and she actually had a stroke while we were writing the book. So she brings some personal perspective, and we, of course, touched on that.
Now, in Chapter 2 on page 3, actually, towards the bottom of this page, you say one of the best ways to appreciate how the brain works is to understand the fundamental relationship between structure and function. So fundamentally,
yes.
What do we need to know?
Well, I think stroke is your best chance to understand where that falls apart, because with stroke, you have a death of some part of your brain, so you lose that form. That part of the brain is not there, so you then get dysfunction. Because the brain piece is missing, the person cannot function in the way that brain controlled. So for me, you have a healthy form, the brain is formed correctly and nothing has died in it, then the function will be normal. So form in the form of the brain informs the function of it.
Okay, so is there something that, you know, if you're born with a birth defect or someone genetically, does that mean that there's no hope for you at all?
Sadly, when you said that, when you asked me that question, there are unfortunately some people who have genetic problems that there can't be anything done for. I think the classic is Huntington's disease, which is a genetic Alzheimer's type of a disease. It's a horrible disease, and it is genetic. There are certain genetic problems that can't be fixed, and yet there are some that can. A lot of these are understood, and we test for them in children at birth, and we're looking at errors of how they process certain materials that are in the diet, and through understanding, you can prevent death or loss of, death of brain or loss of form of brain. You can prevent dysfunction in some, but not all.
Okay. Now, so depression, would that, is this tied at all to brain function?
Very much so, in fact. Depression, for me, when I'm evaluating someone, it can mimic a dementia. It can make a person appear to be, frankly, Alzheimer's disease patient. You can think a person has Alzheimer's and they're just depressed. Also, though, the scary thing is untreated depression has been demonstrated in many studies to actually... So that's a big one for Dr. Mansbach. My co-author talks about improve your mood. He talks about that all the time.
Okay.
And treatment of depression is huge to not develop a dementia.
Well, let me ask you this, because I have been interviewing people for a long time, and I don't know if I have heard as much discussion about people being depressed as I do now. And, I mean, or hearing people that, you know, are dealing with issues of depression, et cetera, as I do now. Is there a connection here to something, or what's going on?
I mean, could it be awareness? I sometimes wonder. I get a sense of what you're talking about. But for me, I might be spoiled a little bit in that view because I'm constantly asking people about this. And so for me, I don't think I appreciate the change, but I do think it's really prevalent, you know, in society. A lot of my patients are older geriatric, and it's interesting to note that there's a 2% of the older adults in our community without illness have depression. But as soon as you give them a horrible disease or they end up in a nursing home, the numbers approach 50%. And so sometimes our life circumstance can lead us to that. But in your original question, is it more prevalent? Is it more something we're more having more often? I tend to think it's more that we're aware and willing to talk about it, and that we're just more able to find it.
I want to just follow up with that, because that is such an issue. A lot of people are just really struggling.
It's very important. Yes. It's an important topic.
They are. And depressed people go out and do things. You know, they hurt others and they hurt themselves. And, you know, there's a lot tied to that. So I want to spend another couple of minutes on that, Dr. Simmons.
That'd be great.
All right.
Yeah.
Today's book is Brain Health as You Age, A Practical Guide to Maintenance and Prevention. I have one of the co-authors with me today. That is Stephen P. Simmons. Dr. Simmons is a board-certified internist. And use your brain in the traffic on your way home tonight, y'all. Use your brain so you get home in one piece. Anyway, let's take a timeout, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
Want to give your opinion today? The phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810.
Support for What's the 411 is being brought to you by Integrity Dental Care. Are you happy with your smile? Are you starting to see bad results from smoking, drinking, bad foods, or soft drinks? Integrity Dental Care would love to help you get your smile back. We do general checkups, cleanings, whitening, and take care of cavities. Consultations are free because Dr. Jacqueline Mitchell wants you to leave better than you came. At Integrity Dental Care, we treat you with integrity and not as a number. All insurances are accepted, including TennCare and Cover Kids. We're located at Southern Hills Hospital, Suite 314, Building C, and can be reached at 615-445-8700 or online at integritycares.com.
A major crash with injuries on I-65 North toward Vietnam Vets. It's blocking all but the far right lanes. Another crash at 6th and Commerce near the Renaissance Hotel. I-24 East is clogged coming down toward that mudslide on Old Hickory Boulevard. This traffic report is brought to you by Prince's Hot Chicken in South Nashville. I'm AJ Rose with your on-time traffic.
Hi, I'm Julie Mix McPeak, Commissioner for the Tennessee Department of Commerce and Insurance. The Department of Commerce and Insurance regulates insurance in Tennessee. That means more than you might think. We educate consumers, we mediate insurance-related complaints, and we enforce the state's insurance laws. An average of $3 million is returned annually to Tennessee consumers through our efforts. We will not stop advocating for you until we are satisfied you have been treated fairly by your insurance company or agent. We respond to over 3,000 insurance complaints annually. If you have a complaint, contact us today. Always use our website to look up an insurance agent's license before you buy a policy. All agents must be licensed in Tennessee to sell you an insurance policy. We are experts on insurance, so we can explain your options and answer your questions. We protect Tennessee consumers every day, and we want to help you. For more information, visit tn.gov/commerce.
Brought to you by the Department of Commerce and Insurance.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
To speak with Sharon or our guest, the phone lines are open. Give us a call at 329-8810, 329-8810. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. In our book, this hour is Brain Health as You Age,
A Practical Guide to Maintenance and Prevention. And co-author Dr. Stephen P. Simmons is with me on the show today. And Dr. Simmons, before the break, I was, you know, getting some questions from you on the connection to depression. And just wondering, are these chemical imbalances, or are these environmental issues? Is any of that be a connection to the issues around depression?
It's interesting. I mean, for me, as far as an environmental trigger, I think that's a little bit harder to find. Mm-hmm. I was intrigued in medical school with a diagnosis they called situational depression, mm-hmm. which to me was an idea that life circumstances brought you to a reason to be depressed. And, you know, before we went to break, I pointed out how only 2% of our older adults have significant symptomatic depression, but put them in a nursing home and it's 50.
Mm.
So to me, when you say environment, I'm thinking a nursing home, okay. and anything that would withdraw hope from my patients, or, you know, that type of thing, you know, tends to bring my patients to being depressed. I think it's interesting if you look at younger adults and you just look at those that are not geriatric, you could have, I think it's like anywhere from 10 to 15% of us can be depressed, you know, at any point in our life, and that's clinical depression. I tend to think more in answer to your question of situations, life circumstance, more so than what might be in the air.
Okay, so the circumstance I guess I was referring to is probably neighborhood or...
That would be, yes. Now then we would be in total agreement at that point. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Which you see on a daily basis,
Yeah, I think that has a tendency to bring people down.
Amen. So then if you get to that, I mean, and everything and how things are going now, sure, I bet you could find a correlation.
Okay.
I don't think it would be hard to find that.
Well, how would that work as you age and, you know, you're doing the best and you can in your neighborhood and, you know, things aren't getting better for your neighborhood. It's looking the same as it always has. And,
there brings a hopelessness to it.
Yeah.
And for me, I try to nurture hope with my patients constantly.
Okay.
So I think there's got to be a way to try to find hope, try to find some idea of what circumstances could be brought about tomorrow.
Okay.
Some way to act in a way where you're impacting what you see.
Mm-hmm. Is there a magical age when we know that we're losing brain cells or we can't remember anything? Or is it 38 or 42? What's the moment that we know that it's going to happen?
Well, I mean, again, for me, I think that there's a lot of evidence when you look at just for dementia, you're talking about losing brain cells, you end up with dementia.
Uh-huh.
And if you compare now to 25 years ago, worldwide, we have cut the numbers of us that develop dementia in half in a quarter of a century. And that's a worldwide thing. That's through better diet, understanding of, you know, brain exercises, socialization, and then vascular health. And all of those physical changes, it shows to me that we can all make choices for ourselves as individuals and prevent the death of our brain tissue. But as far as an age, whoever the mythical they is, but, you know, they say that we start losing brain cells, you know, even at a younger age. But I'm not aware of an exact age where you could say, all right, I've turned the corner and now it's downhill from here.
Okay.
I tend not to believe it's downhill. I tend to see for patients who really work to stay healthy and make the right decisions and work on their mood and do everything right, that usually they tend to do better.
Okay.
And you don't see that loss as much.
Okay, good. If you have a question or comment, want to ask Dr. Simmons a question, feel free to get on the phone at 615-329-8810. And speaking of that, let's go to the phone. Pat, thank you for holding. You have a question or comment for us today?
I wanted to know about stem cell therapy, if stem cell therapy was for brain rejuvenation. And I also wanted to know about oxygen therapy. And I guess my third question is aphasia. What is the aphasia? And I'll take the answer off there. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Simmons.
Now, I didn't hear every bit of that. I did hear where she was saying that she was going to ask me about therapy and brain rejuvenation. Was it oxygen therapy? What was it she was asking me about?
Yeah, it was.
It was oxygen. So I did hear that pretty well. I think for me, oxygen therapy, I'm not aware of a lot of studies that say, like, doing bariatric or pressure treatments, going into a booth where you have oxygen infused will prevent you from developing dementia. I think that for that to be shown in a study is hard to replicate and do for a lot of people. I'm aware that there's a lot of reports that can help and help rejuvenate brain. I'm just not aware in a scientific way of studies where I can say they had people that didn't have it and did, and that you could see that it was better for those who had the therapy. Mm-hmm. I know it's used and a lot of people use it.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, low oxygen events do kill brain tissue.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of logic behind it. I'm just not aware of the studies where they have a blinded study where they have a control group and they figure that out.
Okay. Now, is there something like, say, for example, because the question I had as I, got the show together today was, mm-hmm. for the audience, do you pay as much attention to your brain as you do your body? If somebody's in the car now and they're all tense and wigged out, traffic, oh, my God, is there something that they can just, like, for the brain, just to give,
Wow, that's interesting. See, I do house calls. I've been in the car since about 6:30 this morning, and I struggle with that. How do you stay alert? How do you not lull into being hypnotized by the road and all of that time? I think for me, we all hear about frequent stops and moving your body and try not to drive too much. But all of those, I mean, you still got to get home. You're stuck in traffic.
Right.
I'm going to finish this interview and it'll be my turn. to find my way home. And
I am fine. How are you doing, Sharon?
I'm working my brain out today. I'm doing very well. What about you?
Doing well. I'm out here in traffic myself, staying entertained with this wonderful conversation. I just had a quick question for Dr. Simmons. Being a retired military person of 30 years and knowing that most of our World War II era veterans have passed on, we're now dealing with the Korean era veterans and a large percentage of our Vietnam era veterans. During his research, was anything taken into consideration about military involvement and how that's impacted this topic? And I'll leave that comment on. I'll take it off there and let you guys do that.
Okay. Thank you.
I like that comment. I like that comment. I think I'm more than prepared to talk about that because I practice medicine in this Washington, D.C. area, and there are so many retired military here.
Mm-hmm.
A decade ago when I started, I was seeing World War II veterans,
mm-hmm.
and it's fascinating the way he framed the question. That's exactly right. I'm seeing Korean veterans now and Vietnam veterans, and I have quite a few Vietnam veterans. A lot of my patients are trapped in the home.
Mm-hmm.
There was not really any research for the book, but clinically I've got a lot of experience seeing that, and I would agree with his comments. I just recently had taken care of a World War II Guadalcanal vet, a Marine from the 1st Division, and he had passed just a few months ago, and I remember saying, I guess, that's the last person I'll see that had thought at Guadalcanal, I bet.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's right. I'm moving on more to the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in asking about brain health and whether there was an impact with military service,
mm-hmm.
I think it's most intriguing when you talk about Vietnam vets. I do paperwork now on one of my veterans that you're writing Agent Orange in the paperwork and pondering what effect that may have had. And that's a little different than Korea. Each conflict has its own unique
right.
realities, I find.
So does that mean trauma would have the same impact?
I believe yes, and especially the PTSD, emotional trauma, and certainly any physical trauma to the brain. But emotional trauma is very insidious, and it just seems to never leave.
Hmm.
for a lot of them.
Okay, and it's connected to so many other things that could be connected to depression or drug abuse, alcoholism.
Yeah, right. Very multifactorial, I agree.
Okay. Now, and I know that a lot of your book is about dementia and all of that, but I'm almost out of time, but I do want to find out about dementia and Alzheimer's, both of them in the news a lot, and many people listening have, you know, elders in the family, etc. Can you talk about that, please, sir?
Very briefly, I would say that we all have a lifetime risk of about 10% of getting Alzheimer's, and if you have a parent or a sibling, it doubles to 20%. For me, dementia is a word that encompasses all the diagnoses that could make a person permanently lose their mind. The most common of those is Alzheimer's. That's about 60% of it. And about 20% is people who have had strokes and their brain is different after.
Mm. Okay. So are there any prevention tips you can pass along, Dr. Simmons?
Absolutely. You want to make sure that you're exercising regularly and that you're engaging your mind. Make sure that you're using your mind. It's almost like a muscle. You have to use it or you're going to lose it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you say exercise. You mean physical?
Both. But as far as the closing point there, I was thinking, think hard. You don't do things that are just easy for yourself intellectually. Really push your brain out there and really challenge it.
So,
and that, combined with physical exercise, would be the best thing you could do.
So don't follow the person off the cliff.
Well, correct. Okay. Or the bridge or whatever, you know, you've been advised to jump off. I agree. You think for yourself and really, really stress that brain and stress the body. That would be the best thing you could do.
Okay. Now, I did not get to mention chapter 10 right quick. It's the cognitive exercises to lower your risk. Is that what I think it is? It just gives you just some tips, some tidbits?
It does, and some links as well. Dr. Mansbach is passionate about this, and he has a website, I think it's enrichvisits.com, where you can actually look and engage, and you can log on and for free have a parent try to do the exercises there yourself.
Okay.
So it was actually some of the advice, just like you would think, but it was also some links and some helpful, very specific things online that you could do.
Okay, now this is personal. Words with friends and solitaire. Is that good for my brain?
I would think it's certainly better than not doing, you know, the solitaire. Personally, for me, if I'm playing Words with Friends, I think I would get more out of that while others are beating me. You know, but the solitaire, it's kind of interesting you mention it. I have to work on my mood after a few rounds and not win. So, but I hear you.
Well, I just use those as like, you know, stress relievers.
Yeah, well, for stress release, then that, absolutely. And, you know, I do things that are easy to get out of stress, too. Yeah. Absolutely.
And create new words. Dr. Simmons, this has really been a excellent conversation. I enjoy you very, very much.
And, thank you.
Could you tell the audience, please, how to find the book and your research and you and the other co-authors' research, please?
Absolutely. The Amazon really is the best place to find the book. It's Brain Health as You Age, and you can find that on Amazon. And I would point you to my co-author, Dr. Mansbach's website. He's enrich.com and enrichvisits.com, and I think you would find some very useful tips there.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Simmons. You have a good rest of the day, and we look forward to following your work, okay?
Thank you. It's been a pleasure to talk to someone from Tennessee after so long.
Oh,
thank
absolutely.
You.
Yeah, and I represent very well on this radio.
Yes,
thank you
do.
Thank you.
Yes, you do. It's nice to talk to somebody who knows how to talk right. So thank you very
yes,
much.
Yes, I do. All right, we'll talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, that was interesting. So, you know, guard your brains, y'all. Okay, let's, you know, put the guardrail around them. Because you need them. You need them. You really do. You really do. Anyway, let's take our news break. And back on the other side, we have a new author, a new book. We also have our news from the community. Got a lot in store. So stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. There's more 411 Show coming up.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.